You're listening to audio from the St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Morning, friends. I am so happy to be with you in God's house because he's promised that he'd meet with us and that he'd be here in this very place. And so this morning, I would like to invite you to hear this text from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, as we recognize God being present with us in this place. And we contemplate what this word might mean for our lives. Hear this word from God's word. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw the fire, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In 1988, the Southeastern jurisdiction elected Robert Spain to become a bishop in the United Methodist Church. The committee that decides where bishops are going to be placed thought that he would be a good leader for Kentucky, and so he came. What we found out about Bishop Spain was, number one, he was a wonderful preacher, and he was generally a nice guy. And you know, not all bishops are nice guys. Present company excluded. And so he was a joy for us. It's too bad that his age was what it was, because he was nearing mandatory retirement and only got to be with us for 4 years. During that time, when he first came to Kentucky, there was a cabinet that had already been put in place. And so his district superintendents had already been decided for him. One of those superintendents was Charles Pinkston. Now, during that four-year span that he was in Kentucky, Dr. Pinkston had a heart attack and was in the hospital. Bishop Spain, being the wonderful man that he was and a great pastoral caregiver, decided that he would go to the hospital and do a visit. So he went to see Charles to check on him, to talk with him, and to pray with him. And he did all of that and then left. The nurse came into the room to check on Dr. Pinkston shortly after Bishop Spain had left the room. And she found out that as she took his vitals, his blood pressure and heart rate were up. And so she told him so, to which Dr. Pinkston said, Well, it could be because my boss was just here. To which she responded, Well, I'm sorry I missed him because I've always wanted to meet God. Now, friends, my guess is this. There's only about 100,000 different things that you could be doing on Sunday morning. And you've come here to this place, you've given yourself to this time to be in this spot that you, like that nurse, have wanted to meet with God. And I have very good news for you. He wants to meet with you. This text proves it. Now you might say to me, Randy, why are you so assured that God wants to meet with us? And friends, I'm glad you're asking that question. One of those assurances is this. God, in this story, takes the initiative to meet with Moses. As a matter of fact, I think this whole book, not just Exodus, but this whole book, is about God's interaction with his creation where he's taken the initiative. Right from the very beginning, Genesis opens up and says, in the beginning, God. Before anything else, God. And so, story after story, we can point to and say, you know, it's God who's taken the initiative. He's been the prime mover in our lives time and time and time again. And in this text, Exodus says that the angel appeared to Moses. Moses wasn't there really seeking, but God took the initiative to meet with him. And I think that's the good news of the gospel, that God is taking the initiative in our lives. And so as we go throughout our week, in this coming week, we're going to celebrate Holy Communion here today. It's just another place where he is making himself real to us, exposing his very nature to us, giving us that opportunity to interact with him. Not only do we have the assurance because God has consistently taken the initiative, but we have the assurance that we can meet with the living God because throughout history, he's inhabited the ordinary. In this text, we're told there's a burning bush. Now, the Bible's not opposed to naming different species of plants. Moses is given the instruction Noah's given the instruction that he's going to build the ark out of gopher wood. Solomon is told that he's going to line the walls of that grand temple with cedar. But in this passage, we're just told it's a bush. No hydrangeas. No roses. Just a bush. But God has consistently, throughout time, chosen ordinary elements to reveal himself. I pastored the Bardstown Church for a number of years. 85% of the world's bourbon comes from Nelson County. It's the happiest congregation I ever had. There might be some correlation there. I don't know what it is. It was so close to Lucan Camp, though. We had a big youth group in that church and five choirs in that church, including children's choirs. But they would always go to Lucan Camp for the summer, and kids would be coming back and forth. And I would make it my part of my regimen to go interact with kids. When they would go and spend a week at Lucan, I would take a day and drive over there and do some things with them. And so one day I go over there, they're doing low elements. The reason I would go on days when they would do low elements is because you don't get off the ground for this. Old people will break if you fall out of a tree. But so one of the exercises that they're doing is that they said, we're going to blindfold you, and then we're going to lead you this distance to the next exercise. And so they put blindfolds on us and lead us further into the woods. And then the leader says to us, there's a rope that's been interwoven throughout the trees here. You will go inside the rope, and then you'll make your way hand over hand to find the way out. Okay. So they put us all inside. And I'm going hand over hand with the children. And I've been at this a while. And I can hear that some of the children have made their way out. And so I'm going faster now. And Warren, the camp director, comes over and stands beside me and says in my ear, "Randy, you know there's only one way out. Do you need help?" "No, Warren, I'll do it myself." And so hand over hand, faster now. All the children are out and they're starting to snicker a little bit. Because the pastor is the only one. Warren comes to my ear again and says, "Randy, remember I told you there's only one way out. Do you need help?" And then it dawned on me. You know, there's only one way out. You know what it is. You have to ask. There's that great old hymn. It starts out, says, "Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus." It dawned on me in that moment, here's why we do this crazy exercise. Because it reinforces in the lives of these young people, and some not so young, that salvation is God's good gift, and the only way to get it is to ask for it. It's not anything that we earn. It's not anything we can do for ourselves. And God chose that rather ordinary place to reveal it again. And so God promises to reveal himself to us in ordinary ways, through ordinary means. A bush. A woods with a rope. But God doesn't stop there. Not only does he take initiative and not only does he inhabit the ordinary, but he endlessly pursues us. Moses is there in that place. It says in the text that he's led his flock over to the backside of the mountain. Remember why he's there? Because he doesn't want anybody to know who he is or what he's done. He's trying to be low key. But God's pursuing him because he has something in mind for Moses. And God continues to pursue us because I think he has something in mind for us also. My first full-time appointment was in Whitley County. I pastored the Williamsburg Church. I remember greeting people as they were coming out of church one Sunday morning. And they said to me, "Randy, you see that house right over on the corner, just across the bridge there on the edge of the campus at Cumberland College?" "Yeah, I see that house." They said, "That house belongs to Mr. Carl Combs. He's really a hero from World War II, and he's in the nursing home. You might want to go by and see him. You'd probably like visiting with him." Okay, on my to-do list. So, one day after that, I go to the nursing home. I go into Mr. Combs's room, introduce myself, tell him that I'm the new pastor. We sit down there. He's dressed and in a wheelchair, has the footrests up, so he can kind of propel himself along using his feet and his hands on the wheels. But he tells me this story about himself. You know, he was a sailor on an aircraft carrier. And when those fighter planes were coming in, you know, they had that hook on their tail, and they would grab this cable that was on the deck of the aircraft carrier that would slow them down. Well, it seems that they're on the exercise. He's a deckhand on this ship. And the hook grabs the cable, but then the cable breaks. And so that airplane starts spinning and going all the way down the deck until it goes over the side and into the water. And it takes Carl Combs with it. They were able to save Mr. Combs' life, but not the airplane. And so he got a medical discharge after that because he, you know, if you fall off the deck of an aircraft carrier and get knocked into the ocean, life changes things, you know. But he was congenial, and I was enjoying my time with him, and I was about ready to go. I was going to pray and be on my way, and he said, you know, I have a home. You know, Mr. Combs, I've been told that. I know right where your house is. He said, we could go see it. And now my blood pressure's getting up a little bit. I said, well, Mr. Combs, we don't really need to. I mean, I know right where it is. It's right across the bridge there from the church. He said, let's go out and talk to the nurse. And so he's, you know, already passed me and out the door on his way, wheeling over there. And he says to the nurse, you know, this young man is my new pastor, and he's going to take me down, and we're going to see my house. And she looks up at me, and I look at her, and I say, you know, we wouldn't want to do anything that would compromise Mr. Combs' health. And she looked right back at me and said, oh, it's fine. Not on the list of to-do things today. And I really don't want to go. Because I've visited nursing homes before, but I have never busted out one of the patients. I pulled my car up to the curb, and Mr. Combs is able to get himself into the car quite easily, and I open the trunk and I put his wheelchair in there, and off we go. And he's telling me exactly where to turn, and he's doing a wonderful job because I already know where I'm going. I know where the house is. It's right in front of the church. And so we get down there, and we pull up beside his house, and he said, that's it, right there. That's where I live. And then he looked over at me and said, you can take me back. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes, you know, to convict me and make me feel like a heel. And I said, you know, Mr. Combs, we've gone to the trouble to get in the car. We could go over to the GE drive-in and get a Coke. He said, that'd be okay with me. And so we went over to the drive-in and we got a Coke. And I learned more about Carl Combs. And I discovered again that day that God will not leave me alone. He's endlessly pursuing me. Relentless, constant. And I learned another lesson that day. You know, sometimes people just need to remind you that they've had a whole nother life that you don't know anything at all about, and they just want to be seen. Can you take a minute and help them be seen and felt in this world? Well, that's another sermon. But I'm here to tell you the good news of the gospel today is that you can meet with a God who created this whole world. My friend Paul says you need to go to the beach at least once a year because you get your rhythm back. I don't know about that, but what I do know is that when I see that moon pop up out of that ocean and I look at it from that balcony where I'm sitting, I'm reminded somebody bigger than me made all of this happen. And Exodus 3 tells me that somebody wants to know me and wants me to know him. We get to make it happen again here at the Lord's table today. And so, friends, I want to say to you today, you get to meet God. Because he's seeing to it. He's taking the initiative. He's inhabiting the ordinary. And he is relentlessly pursuing us. May God give us grace to be hearers of his word. Amen.